have not. Sorry, you missed the point. We are in the Ten Commandments. We're looking at commandment number 8. You'll find Exodus chapter 20. Last week was five words. This week we're back to 4. You're in luck. I only have a page of notes. We'll see how this works. You shall not steal. That's it. 4 words. Thou shalt not steal. Judy, what were you thinking 20 minutes ago?
That I had lost my stole.
Somebody might have stolen her stole. Isn't that a great thing to have happen this morning? She's in the choir. She had a stole. Her stole is missing. Did somebody steal my stole? I just find that fascinating. Interestingly enough, I had her stole, but steal her stole I did not.
She had her stole.
Half of my page is given over to definitions. If this comes out as a diatribe against some of the folks who are at work in our world, so be it. What does stealing mean? If you look at the literal meaning, it translates as thieving or as carrying away by stealth. That's the sort of definition of the Hebrew term. What's your definition of stealing? Taking something without permission. Doesn't belong. Are you taking something that doesn't belong to you without permission? That's one. If I want to go for 2. Because I got 9.
Plagiarism.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 8.
Plagiarism.
So taking words without permission that do not belong to you. I'm unfortunately pretty close to that one. There is an old LP. You all are old enough to know what an LP is, right?
Yes.
I have the LP, the title of which is Tiptoe Through the Tithers. If you're old enough and you've been to the right record stores, you may own a copy of this. Okay? This is the one where the guy sings, "Oh, my Sunday school pen grew through too long for my coat, and it reached all the way to the floor." I had just finished 43 years, and I was on my way to 44. He trips over his Sunday school pen, goes to the hospital, loses his record, and he's singing a lament for this. This is on that album. Instead of tiptoe through the tulips, he describes church staff members as tiptoeing through the tithers. I thought that was a good cut. The one that I thought really caught my eye, and you have to think back to who Criswell was. He was fairly active in those days. The song was, it's not "I'm beginning to sound," it's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas, but it's "I'm beginning to sound a lot like Criswell." And it ends with this wonderful little poetic conclusion. And if you ever write a book and if I ever get a look, I'll be beginning to sound a lot like you. There's a fine line with plagiarism. Most of what I do is intended to encourage you to think more deeply about things that God calls on us to do that. And so I'm listening to what other people say, and I'm bringing a lot of that in. Sometimes I tell you Lon Solomon is affecting a whole lot of what I'm telling you now. I think I've told you that earlier. I'll tell you again. He's pastor up at McLean Bible Church. He put some things on, and I'm using some of that. I used John Donne this morning. In fact, quoted pretty much from it. without attribution as if it's yours is where plagiarism gets you into trouble. And I will freely admit I edge up on that sometimes. You think I'm wise sometimes and I'm not. Somebody else is, and I'm just quoting them.
Couldn't you turn that around and say you're almost honoring somebody when you use their work?
I think that's maybe a rationalization that we should make. Okay. Back to the definition. Is this?
Do we have eminent domain?
We do have eminent domain, and it's under attack.
For 500 years, you can.
Yeah, only they keep extending it. John Donne has been dead long enough. Okay. Definitions of stealing. Don't forget where we were. Yeah. Jennifer?
Taking without a care for others. I mean, there's an impure motive of why you're taking. I think it goes beyond, I just want this.
I was thinking it's like stealing someone's character by gossiping. That's exactly.
Yeah, so up here it's things.
Things, but
and things, and it could be
people's character or good name.
Character assassination, slander, those kinds of things. And I think that's hidden in here. The next commandment is going to be false witness against your neighbor. Slander is sort of in the crack between 8 and 9. Okay. Who else? Great.
Wasting someone's time.
Like I'm doing now.
Or your own time. God's time.
Yep.
I'm doing a little summary on that comment you tossed in at the end. Are we stealing from God in those kinds of areas? That's something for us to think about.
Bill, sometimes we steal time from our boss. Maybe you're doing something that's not work-related. You're stealing time from the boss.
Stealing.
And
well, for
word I
had. Oh, here's the
I get the
word
right.
Like bringing home paper clips and staples and
not providing honest work.
That for our day, for the day's pay.
Taking supplies, etc. For non. Taking supplies, etc., for non-business use. What else? You think just because we're running out of room, we're going to have to stop?
Sometimes people steal because they're too lazy to work. And I know people that way.
Okay, that's gone into the motives for stealing, and not so much the definition of stealing. But we'll keep that in mind. Why would people steal is something we'll have to look at. Before we get through, just in case I forget that, what is here and why is still pending?
But not paying something that's owed.
Or not admitting.
Yeah, that's not an F. That's a B. But debt doesn't have a B in it anyway. Not paying a debt that you could pay, I think, would be a right.
Or deliberate, intentional.
But cheating on with your taxes, that kind of thing, like that.
Yeah.
Fraud. Yeah, and fraud, too, yeah.
Fraud.
Taking credit for something that you didn't do.
The Bible warns over and over about
that. Okay, not paying a debt you could pay, cheating on your taxes, taking credit for what somebody else has done as if you had done it yourself. That's a variation on plagiarism. It's plagiarism of deeds, if I could to put it that way. I don't think the world allows us to say that, but maybe we can get away with it.
More ideas. I was thinking more about the verses in the Bible where God says, don't steal God's glory from him. Don't take credit for things that God did. And I think sometimes we do that inadvertently when we don't give God credit for what he's done.
Okay, so that question of stealing from God comes back in another place. Give to the Lord the honor due his name. I think that's the way the psalmist writes that phrase. If we don't do that, we stepped across a line.
I hope I'm saying this right. Stealing someone's heart through false accusations or actions. In other words, a lot of people fall in love with someone because of who they think they are, and later on, unfortunately, you find out someone different and their very heart. And I think in some ways, Satan does that to Christians, trying to steal them away from God.
Okay, let me see if I got that right. Pretending to be somebody you're not. Breaking hearts in the process. A little clue for what it's worth. If you scribble well enough, no one can tell whether you can spell. Yeah, we're running out of room, so I'm going to go up here. We've got that term for it in our culture, right? It's called identity theft. I can remember my father having a series of charges posted to his checking account. People had drafted a check about $450, $460 a pop. They caught it. They went to the bank. The bank tried to put traces on it, couldn't do it. They finally took the bank account and closed it and issued a whole new bank account number for my dad. My dad was slipping into dementia when this happened. My brother took my mom and dad home. Dad goes into the family room. Mother goes to take a brief nap. She wakes up to hear Dad on the phone. Oh, that didn't work. Well, we just got a new number. Let me read it to you. And he had just finished reading the new number. The scamming that is done on the weak, the elderly, the ones who are trusting, I don't think it's anything new, but I told you that it was going to sound like I was condemning some people. I'll condemn that group. I've watched it happen. And I think all of you could probably give more anecdotes than I could, but that process of scam, spam, fish, con, all those words that now come up, there's a reason those words are out there. The people who do that are good, and they are often rewarded for how good they are at what they do. Our society sometimes turns a blind eye to that. Put people in jail for having a small amount of some substances that they shouldn't have. And they're in jail for a long time. And people make people homeless. They put them on the street. They destroy the trust with which they had been living their lives. And sometimes what you see is a slap on the wrist at most. There's something wrong with that. What else?
Someone's innocence.
Yes.
That could be.
That's an interesting variation on this, maybe. But stealing someone's.
I mean, there are a lot of predators out there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the other word for this.
Still the secrets of company or government you sell to others.
Yeah, I heard somebody saying it. Now, let's see if I can spell it.
Espionage. You spell it, I say it.
Industrial and other kinds of espionage. But let me go back to the predator thing just a minute. The town that I grew up in seemed at the time idyllic. I look back now and see its flaws. And they are many and they are stunning. And they persist. But I stumbled across something the other day. 1983, a little boy of 8 disappeared from my hometown. I didn't know it till this week. And about once every decade, they write another story. And it's been almost 3 decades now. He is not the only one. Hundreds, thousands. You look at what happened to that little girl that was held in the backyard of a house for however many years it was. There's something awful about that. And it goes deep and it cuts hard.
Not tithing. Okay.
And I think.
In our work experience, often as we dealt with people who would come to the church or come to missionaries or whoever for charity when they really didn't need it. So I think living on charity when you really don't need it is also a form of stealing. Or when there are other options.
That's what I just said.
That's a hard one, but let me just say it again. Living on charity or seeking charity when there are other options that you could take, but you just don't. I won't tell you all of what I sometimes say down this road. I will simply tell you there was a day, it was years ago, but I still remember it very, very clearly. I was in this building. I was in a room down the hall right there. There was a copy machine down there, and I was copying some things for you guys for the next day, or for the next Sunday. I think this was in the middle of the week in an afternoon. A man came walking in. He said he had been part of our prison ministry, that he was out, that he had started working. He had a job, but he's lost that job. He had another job that was about to start, but it wasn't going to start for another week, and he needed money for rent, he needed money for food to carry him over. I don't usually carry a lot of cash in my wallet. I'm addicted to plastic. But I had my hand was on my way to the wallet to give him whatever I had. When a person who was in the room with me, and it's a person who's in the room today, although the person may not recognize themselves, said, excuse me, would you just sit down here, reached up and grabbed a clipboard off the shelf and began down a checklist. It turns out our community needs folks, the ones that are trained, which I wasn't, had a checklist. Which prison did you get out of and when did you get out? What was the job you had? Who was your boss? Where was the work site? This job you've got, who hired you? When does it start? How can I contact those folks? You are wanting money for rent. Where are you living? Who's the landlord? What's the phone number of the landlord, or how could I find it? And I suddenly stepped back with awe and said, man, I'm glad you're part of the same church I'm part of. Because you just did that a whole lot better than I would have. I wouldn't have done that very well. What else?
Self-esteem is an example.
Bill, this week, someone won the lottery, and they were paid, they were still in food stamps. That's what I
actually saw that story.
Oh, yeah. That's my income, of course, to her.
Time out. We have a request to ask a question from someone who's much more polite than the rest of us.
What do you do in Richmond? We know what they did in Tyler, we know what they did in Dallas, but what do you do in Richmond about people that are on the street asking? Do you give them cash? Do you ever give them cash?
you know, the question always rises in my mind, will they take it for liquor or go for whatever? What do you do?
I stand in guilt, wavering between simply handing over cash or ignoring them. That's what I do. Let me be more specific. I had a chance a few years ago to speak down at St. Paul's, which is a big church right across from the Capitol Square. And as I was going in, this guy stops me and gave a sob story, and I gave him $20. I went inside, met my friend who was meeting me, and he said, "Oh, I wish you hadn't done that. We have programs, but in order to be in those programs, they have to go through the checklist that I'd seen before. When you give money directly, you're undermining that, and you're offering non-accountability." So my sense is that there is no answer to that question. There's a thousand things that people do, but that the best of those would be some kind of program of accountability, and then help the ones that need the help. I don't think as much help as is needed, I don't think that much help is being given. I think it's a real problem here. But I think giving money, I suspect we're going to have some answers to that, and I do want to save time to go through this list and talk about a couple of other things.
Have
so,
we covered your
nine? Oh, no.
I just finished a financial management course with the New Crown Ministries.
Right.
It's in trust, and I don't know if anybody's heard of it. It was at Neil's headquarters. And I've been always wondering what to do, because I had various ways of doing it. But she had this card made up that's laminated and had all the ministries that the person could go to, or some, listed enough in the Richmond area, that you could just hand it to them. And it had a wonderful list of ministries. It was perfect to give to somebody that would be free for that person. And First Baptist Church has those ministries. That was one of them. And that was just great to have that.
Bob, you may get the final word on this one before we move on.
Caroline's got her hand.
Not on that. I had another one about skills. So.
No, Gail used to serve on the community needs. And the way they handle the thing here is people call and they never give them money. They're behind in the electric bill. They say you go out and get this much from other places when you've got it all, call us back, and then we will pay that. And they have a fixed amount to the electric company. And I always thought it was amusing because when she went on that committee, most of the people on that committee were, let's say, elderly, and they used little 3x5 cards. And if somebody called in twice, they would write abuser across these cards and nail them every time. We got really technical, and the next group that had that committee put it on Excel, and they were missing them right and left. But those little ladies with that abuser card there, they nailed them every time. They said, "We only do it once a year. You called earlier, and we cannot give you anything more than once a year."
I'm not sure that solves everything.
No, it doesn't. But I see that. I mean, we get requests from prison ministry all the time. And our position is that the funds we have are used to help them spiritually. And we can't do for one what we can't do for everybody.
Well, again, I think we have opened a swamp, but very quickly.
Stealing someone's self-esteem, like parents putting children down so much they have no self-respect for themselves and that kind of thing.
Jackie?
Yes, I was
going to
say without, you know, any qualifications, sending you books, because sometimes they're so damaged and it's such that you need to feed them before they can even hear you. And then they work with, you know, they have to sit there where they work with them and they try to give them skills to, you know, get on their feet. And I think, you know, life is not theoretical, it's situational. And I think the key is, as we strengthen our relationship with God, we have to ask Him to direct us in each of those situations. Because sometimes we can get into judging whether that person is a sign, is a scam, or what have you. And I think it falls back on you if you are in the position of help. You may not be in the position of help. And if you can help, once you let that God's blessings to you go to another person, you have to have the faith and trust that God is going to handle that situation, whether go to that person that you give it to, does the right thing with it, or the wrong thing with it. Your focus, I think, becomes more how God is going to deal with you based on how you handle the situation that came before you. That's why it's so key, I think, to see God in that situation. I don't think it's lack of Christ, you know, in the situation, and how we shut up. That's a very long answer.
I'm going to take the privilege of the last word on this little part, and then we'll go back to stealing. There is a difference between identifying a situation in which an investment or a series of investments can bring significant change and closure that would strengthen the kingdom, would strengthen this person towards or in the kingdom. I think there's a difference between that and a black hole. I think the ongoing chronic problems that exist within our community need ongoing and chronic attention. And there are groups that do that. My understanding is, and I probably don't, it's Good Samaritan Inn is one, and I forget the name of the other.
Freedom House.
Freedom House, I think it is, has a residential part to it. You come and you stay for a period of time. They find work for you. They move you towards being accountable, being responsible, being functioning. It's not a one-time shot. A place like ours, the one-time shot may be a rational way to go. But the idea of an investment, maybe even over a period of time to help somebody do that, I think the investment our church has made in Freedom House and Good Samaritan Inn are good investments. They're different places. They offer a different kind of piece. What happens in the community centers that the Richmond Baptist Association has, those kinds of investments are ongoing and chronic problems being dealt with ongoing and long-term attempts to address those. I do think this requires thinking, and it requires work to try to figure out what the right way is to do it, and I'm not one who knows all those answers. So I'm glad there's people in the church to do this. Like I said, I was glad that person was in that room that day because they had a systematic way of dealing with that on that day, and that's the only point I wanted to make. Let me come back and walk through a few things in my list. You can see a few places where it's going to duplicate, a few places where maybe it'll say something different. Taking what is not yours for your use or pleasure or gain. Taking payment for what is not delivered under an agreement. Rearranging evidence of ownership so as to be able to lay legal claim to what is not yours. Old Testament talks do not move the boundary stones. And we are seeing people in our day moving the boundary stones. You look at what's happening in the financial sectors, I'm condemning another group. The robo-signing that has put people into foreclosure when the paperwork wasn't right. There was a certain delicious irony in that one family that sued a bank and foreclosed on one of its branches. They had paid off their mortgage, and they were put under foreclosure with a mortgage that the bank did not have. And when the bank would not respond, they sued one and took control of one of the branches of that bank. Just moved all the employees out, took the branch over. I thought there was something delicious in there. Misusing something entrusted to you so that the rightful owner will not get it back. We have an epidemic of people who take our resources and then pay themselves out of our resources, leaving little to come back. The most glaring example of this that I saw is in recent years here in Richmond, there was a group that was handling the financial end of Starker exchanges. Do you know what a Starker exchange is? Are you financially savvy? A friend of mine had a section of timberland. Decided he didn't want to be in the timber business anymore. He did a Starker trade for an apartment building. He had an income-producing property. He sold it. The proceeds were taken, given to a financial agent to hold that money. The money could not come into his possession, so somebody had to hold that money. He then used that money to purchase another income-producing property of some kind. That's called a Starker exchange, named for the financial piece that made this work in our government laws. A company in Richmond was holding millions of dollars in the middle of these Starker exchanges, and suddenly all the money was gone. We have people who come in to banks and other financial institutions. They take the money that people put on deposit. Somehow the people get rich, and all of a sudden the money isn't there. The mutual fund folds or whatever, and people are left holding the bag. My mother-in-law had something around $24,000 in savings. A broker put her into what he thought, what he said, was the most safe thing you could possibly get, bonds from Texas Energy. Turns out Texas Energy had a subsidiary in England doing some fly-by-night project over there. The bonds were in that, and that little piece fell apart. She lost all of her retirement money, all of it. There's something wrong with that process, and that is going on across our country. It is an epidemic, and it's got to stop, and I don't see anyone with the will to make it stop.
John Corzine comes to mind.
There's a guy named Stafford. There's a guy named Corzine. Government officials are implicated in this kind of stuff. It just gets uglier and uglier and uglier, and how to do the house cleaning is not clear to people. But there's something badly, systemically wrong within our system. I've seen graphs of productivity and wages. Put the graph of productivity on one axis, put the wages on another axis, and they match each other from right after World War II up until about 1992. 1992, the wages go flat, the productivity continues up. Separation of pay for people at the top of the food chain to the people who are doing the work, there's something wrong. That's stealing, and it's stealing of a different order than somebody stealing a loaf of bread out of a 7-Eleven or a grocery store. Misusing something entrusted to you so that the rightful owner will not get it back. Embezzlement is what we call it, but somehow it's gotten to be where there's people who found out how to do it legally. Claiming property used as collateral. Payday lenders are loose in Virginia. Some folks are trying to stop them. Some folks are trying to keep it going. Title lenders. Using tax systems and manipulated prices of housing to take money from the poor. Amos talked about this, and boy, is that loose. Taking monetary advantage of people who put their economic trust in you. Micah 2:8 talks about that one. Using the law to evict the poor from their homes or to deprive children of rightful inheritances. Micah talks about that one as well. That's my list. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're almost out of time. I will not have time to talk about everything I'd hope to talk about, but that's okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 28. Anyone who has been a thief must stop stealing and instead exert himself at some honest job with his own hands so that he'll have something to share with those in need. Joshua 7 talks about using things for yourself that God gave you to be used in his work. 1 Chronicles 21 and again in 2 Samuel 24, you get a picture of David. There's been a plague and the plague is stopped and David is going to offer an offering to the Lord. He asks a man to buy his threshing floor so he can build an altar to God. The man says, "You're the king, take it, it's my gift." And David makes a remarkable statement in return. Many of you know this statement, but you need to know it if you don't. I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Using what belongs to others as your gift to God. Turn to Luke 19. We're going to finish here. I want you to join me, if you will, in praying that there'll be Zacchaeuses all over our country. It's time for a few. Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was going through the town when suddenly a man whose name was Zacchaeus made his appearance. He was one of the senior tax collectors and a wealthy man. He kept trying to see Jesus, but he was too short and he couldn't see him for the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus who was to pass that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he stopped, looked up, and spoke to him. Zacchaeus, come down. Hurry, because I'm going to spend some time at your house today. And Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him joyfully. All the people complained when they saw what was happening. He's gone to stay at a sinner's house, they said. But Zacchaeus stood his ground and said to the Lord, look, I'm going to give half my property to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I will pay him back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. There are people who think stealing is the only way to be happy. And they've gotten to the point where they don't realize anymore. They knew it first, and they know if they stop and think about it, that they're stealing. But it's gotten so old hat, they don't think about it anymore. But they are sons of Abraham too. Pray for our people. Pray for the people who are using the law to steal. Pray for the people who are using influence to gain for themselves and putting other people at hurt, because they are still children of God. David?
Yeah, I've done one thing. Work. I've worked for several. Each of us has to decide to agree with. When you use your computer, that's what you got. You're sitting on the testing his name, you show it your cheering number. And other than that, we're always happy. Our community to work. And we should not use computer for something else beyond our duty.
And that's
people the do not file agreement. And we can be fired at such a job. Mm-hmm. And also go to court and
Okay. Let me point you to two more places. Look in Malachi, and you see Malachi talking over and over again about people stealing from God. Let me invite you, it's not a very long book, you can read that. Matthew 23, starting in verse 23, Jesus begins to say things that are pretty negative about folks who steal the resources that belong to someone else. There's a point in Acts where somebody dies because they lied about a gift they gave to God. At the front end of that, one of the disciples says, wasn't this yours to do with as you wished? Didn't you have a choice? The Bible affirms property rights. The Bible affirms that you have the right to own things and you have the right to decide how to use them. The Bible encourages you, commands you in some places. But the commands are left with your own heart and the Spirit's guidance to enforce those. This is a big one. I think it may be the biggest one that we face in our world today. this has gotten so loose and so bad. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, the prescription in Ephesians is simple. If we are thieves, we should stop. Do honest work with our hands so that we can earn the money to support ourselves and to have some surplus to share with those in need. Something is loose in our world that isn't going to be fixed except by the action of your Spirit in the hearts of human beings. So we pray today for more Zacchaeuses. We pray today for people to realize the wrongness of what they're doing. And we pray that you would give us the chance to see our own hearts. You ask us to be pure before you, and we pray that you would help us be that. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.